The Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, it's very simple. You go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. Joining us in just about an hour, Chris Miles, NBA TV host. He will join us to talk about NBA free agency opening up, some of the deals that are getting done, see if the Wizards are going to be involved, going to spend any cash. So Chris Miles will join us in just about an hour. So we wanted to get into these rumors about TJ Watt from the Steelers as to whether he will become available via trade. This is from USA Today. Teams are free to call the Steelers to ask if TJ Watt is available. They just shouldn't expect them to pick up. ESPN reported Monday that, quote, multiple teams have been discussing whether they can trade for Steelers standout TJ Watt after the star edge rusher sat out of Steelers' mandatory minicamp. However, both ESPN and NFL Network went on to report that the Steelers are committed to keeping Watt in the Steel City. Watt is now 30, entering the final year of the four-year, $112 million contract extension that he signed back in 2021. So there are rumors swirling. It sounds like the Steelers would like to keep him, but they haven't been able to strike a deal yet. Other teams are trying to go in and pry him free from the Steelers. What would you do if you were the Commanders? Do you want the Commanders to try to make a play for TJ Watt? Do you think that's crazy because they can't even reach an extension with TJ with Terry McLaurin, yeah, who's in their own building, and now they're going to go after the top edge rusher on the market? Does that make any sense? What would you part with if you were Adam Peters to try to land him here? And let's also keep in mind, he's dealt away a lot of picks recently for Marshawn Lattimore, Debo.
That's true.
And for Laramie Tunsil. So a lot of those picks have already been dealt away.
Second and third rounders.
Like Debo went for a fifth rounder. Marshawn was a third and fourth in the 2025 draft. So
yep,
a lot of those picks have already been dealt.
Tunsil was that a second, and then they swapped thirds?
Sounds right, but I'd have to go and look at
I think they swapped
some. What that compensation was.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. All right, I'm going to start my package with Daron Payne. I'm going to throw
Payne
in.
Payne is like in every package.
Of course.
Seems, okay.
Of course. He's highly compensated and kind of underperformed last year. So I'll start there. I'll toss in a draft pick. And then,
all right, what? I mean, tossing in a draft pick is very nebulous.
A third rounder.
Okay, Payne and a third rounder.
And then I'm going to give him Brandon Coleman, who's potentially a building block here. But I think you're going to have to give up a lot to get TJ Watt.
So I'm going to guess the Steelers get that call. Is it Daron Payne? Okay. Who else? A third rounder? Okay. And you're going to give us Brandon Coleman, another third rounder that you've already moved from left tackle to the interior of your offensive line. Thanks, but we're going to consider some other offers. We're going to listen to what the Bucks and maybe the Bills and some other teams that need some pass rush. We're going to listen to those offers.
Let me hear the Cakes offer, Adam Peters.
Oh, I don't have one crafted at this point. I'm just mocking offer.
Would you give up Terry McLaurin for him, like Drabby would?
No. Of course I wouldn't.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't either.
I'm going to give away my top offensive player outside of Jaden Daniels for a defensive player? Mm-hmm. No, thank you. That would never happen.
I mean, you're getting a damn good defensive player.
You're getting one of the top defensive players in the league. But in my war room, offense always greater than defense. I'm not trading a premier offensive player as part of the package to land TJ Watt.
Do you think that the Steeler fans would trade TJ Watt for Terry?
Of course not.
TJ Watt ranked number 11 and Pete Prisco's 100, Terry 81.
Yeah.
When edge is a need, I'm not saying Terry, and I'm not saying I would, like right. Jason just put words in my mouth. But I think it's worth a conversation. It's worth thinking about.
I don't know. I don't know if they would, if McLaurin was involved, if they would be more excited or not. I have no idea. I would think that teams like to have, especially when you have a new quarterback, you like to have explosive receivers, and that would give him two. But Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports threw out five teams that could possibly wheel and deal for TJ Watt, and Detroit, Green Bay, Philly, Seattle, and Washington.
what does he have for the Washington deal?
Yes. Oh, he doesn't project. He doesn't throw out, you know, the actual trade. He just throws out five teams that could possibly be interested in trading for him.
I would be willing to listen on the McLaurin part of it.
Hmm.
It wouldn't be what I would favor. Let me see what they've got on their depth chart. I'd need a receiver back. Well, I know they're not going to give me DK.
Yeah, well, that's definitely not happening.
So Robert Woods, Calvin Austin.
Their depth chart is nubs
that
outside of DK Metcalf.
All right, but what if I got...
Because they got rid of Pickens.
What if I got Freiermuth back? Now, because they just got Jonnu Smith. I'm just saying, give me Freiermuth.
You need a lot more.
I don't need him. You got your Zach Ertz replacement. You would think Ben Sinnott. You drafted that guy. You're just going to punt away a second-round draft pick? He was picked in the second round.
I'm not going to force it if he's not good. I mean, at some point, look, they already got rid of their first-round cornerback, didn't they not?
Yes.
Forbes you're talking about?
Yeah. First-rounder. They got rid of him. They said bye-bye.
Yeah, but he was not picked by Adam Peters.
Doesn't matter if he's not good enough.
Sinnott was a Adam Peters pick. He's going to get more than 2 years to prove himself.
He's getting more rope, sure, but at some point he's got to prove it. I'm just saying, if I was going to deal Terry McLaurin, I would listen. I need to get something back at receiver to help my offense. I don't love their options.
No, their options are not
good. Robert Woods, Calvin Austin.
No, they're not. You don't
but their
want
tight
the
end, I'm intrigued by. Because he would be a tight end for the future. How many more years does Ertz have? Great year last year.
One or two,
I would think, max.
Overachieved. Everybody's expectations for Zach Ertz last season was he was going to get hurt.
Look, I like Zach Ertz. He's a great story. I want him to have one more year here, and then I want him to pass the baton to Ben Sinnott. That's the way these things are supposed to work.
You're not supposed to put a
37 or 38-year-old tight end.
But if you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, if he's not any good, like JP said, like you're forcing progression.
I have to think that he's at least decent, or else Peters wouldn't have spent the second round pick on him. He's just in an unfortunate spot where Ertz overperformed what they thought he would do when he was brought here.
Okay, but half second round picks bust. We know that. Just the math.
Can't have this one bust. I mean, you can't have this one.
Well,
can't
it's a big year for him.
Part of the half.
It's no doubt, it's a big year for him.
All right, Cakes, scrap Freiermuth. You said the running back room is light. What if Warren's in the package?
Jalen Warren?
Yes.
Kind of like him. He could be like a Austin Eckler replacement. Because I like Austin Eckler too, but let's be honest, he's not long for this roster after this season.
Does that pique your interest a little more?
Some people are saying he's a potential cut candidate, like during training camp. So yeah, I'm kind of intrigued by him.
So then Terry is not completely off the board for you.
What, as far as dealing him, or
that's what we're talking about? We're talking about a TJ Watt deal.
I mean, it would be intriguing.
I would do everything I could to keep Terry McLaurin here with Jaden Daniels.
Of course, but we're talking about...
I would prioritize that over landing TJ Watt.
All right.
Personally. But again, I'm very biased. I'm biased towards offensive players. Everybody knows this. It's a flaw of mine.
Very loyal to your players. You wanted to keep Gilbert Arenas and not trade him for Kobe Bryant.
I did. That's true. It's very... look, I'm not saying
that's
I would...
damning.
I'm not saying I would make a great GM. I'd be a terrible GM. I'd have the worst... I would have the league's best offense and the league's worst defense. And I would try to get into 45, 42 shootouts with people every single week. I'm not saying it's the best way to do business.
But don't we think that both players are going to work out deals with their current teams?
Yes. I think that's what's
going on.
These are protracted contract negotiations.
I'm starting to think it might not happen for TJ.
I know. Look,
they're starting to shake things up.
The Steelers shook some stuff up. They went out and got Rodgers. They went out and they traded for DK. They made a huge deal yesterday, trading Fitzpatrick to get Jalen Ramsey.
They indicate that the Steelers are making. They're putting all the chips in. They're going for it in the next year or two, and you're just going to punt your best pass rusher, your best defensive player, maybe your best overall player. while you're doing all that? That doesn't make sense
to me. It doesn't seem likely. I would agree with that.
Does anybody want to bet? Does anybody want to wager that both Watt and McLaurin stay with their respective teams?
No, I believe that. That's what I think is going to happen.
I mean, I think they both wind up re-signing with the Steelers and Commanders, respectively. Valdez, you want to hop in on that?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. $5.
Okay.
Let's go. Put it in the book. Anybody else wants in? I welcome the action. That just means we're going to get a breaking news sounder, and Savannah McCann's going to do an update like later today that TJ Watt got dealt to the Arizona Cardinals or something along those lines.
I'll tell you what, you better hope he doesn't get dealt to the Philadelphia Eagles if you're a Commander fan.
Well, that would not be great. That would not be ideal. If that were the case, I'd have to look at Howie Roseman's books and see what they're doing there with their finances.
What if Pittsburgh's nervous that his production is going down? He went from 19 to 11 and a half sacks.
That's still pretty good.
Still, I mean, pretty good.
His last five,
but he is. You're a big ageist, Cakes. He's 30 years old.
Yep. Look, I can understand these teams not wanting to give huge cash outlays to guys who are the wrong side of 30. I understand why there's hesitation. But if you want a guy who's capable of 20 sacks, which there aren't a lot of those guys in the league, TJ Watt's one of them, then you got to pay him. You got to pay him top of market money. And by acquiring guys like DK Metcalf, Jalen Ramsey, it seems like they have a small window that they think where they can compete and make a run. And you're going to do that without TJ Watt?
Yeah, I think he could still put up big numbers, even at 30, 31, I mean, 32.
Even in a down year, if he plays in 16 or 17 games, he's going to give you like at least a dozen sacks.
Yeah, I mean, even in a down year, he had
like
11
last year,
and
11 and a half, and that's considered a disappointment.
Yeah. He could easily come back and have 15 this year.
Right.
Or he could be slowing down.
That could be the case too.
So maybe the Steelers are thinking that, and they don't want to give him a huge
deal.
Maybe
they're balking. They're balking at his demands.
But I would still bet that they work something out.
All right, Valdez, you and I are in the books that both of those guys get re-signed by their respective teams. I think that is what is ultimately going to happen. Coming up later in the show, Chris Miles, NBA TV host. He'll join us coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll take a tour around NBA free agency with him at 9 a.m. here on The Fan. Let's get into Cakes' entertainment page, brought to you by BMW of Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW of Fairfax and ask for EB's girl, Miriam, the general manager, or check them out at BMWofFairfax.com.
Yes, sir.
Lead story. Diddy jury setback could indicate a, quote, stealth juror. Oh, I don't even know what that means. Maybe JP can tell me.
One person's holding out.
Jurors in Sean Diddy Combs' sex trafficking and racketeering trial began deliberations on Monday. The jury sent two notes to the court throughout the 5.5 hours of deliberations. The first note from the jury claimed one juror could not follow Judge Aaron Subramanian's instructions. The issue during their first day of deliberations could signal a stealth juror, leading to the possibility of jury nullification, a legal expert told Fox News Digital. A juror who cannot follow your honor's instructions is a potential stealth juror, and we're looking at the possibility of jury nullification. Says the defense has to be feeling good right now.
So it would be a mistrial?
Why can't they just
jury nullification sometimes is just a not guilty verdict. Like, they don't care and they just
want out?
No,
here's the legal jargon. Judge Subramanian can admonish the juror, but if they still refuse to follow instructions, his only real options are to dismiss the juror under Rules 23 and 24 and replace them with an alternate.
Yeah.
But that will create an appellate issue or declare a mistrial and we'll have to start all over.
Oh, okay. All right.
The defense has to be feeling good right now.
The defense.
The defense. The defense. They don't say defense in court of law.
Defense.
That was defense.
Defense. Defense.
You get pumped when you chant defense.
Yeah, I can't say defense. I have to say defense.
That's usually how they say it.
All right. So
do you say prosecution or prosecution?
All right, so now is it? I guess it is the defense department, not the defense department.
Yeah.
So the only time you say defense is when you're talking about playing defense?
Probably.
That's the only time I say it.
Defense, defense.
The English language doesn't necessarily make great defense. Sense.
All right, so when is this judge going to make the decision?
I'm sure I know. How would I know?
I mean, it's been going on for a month.
You mean the decision?
the decision.
There's a lot of theories out there that Diddy got to pay this guy off.
Fishing for a mistrial, and started the whole. We're gonna have Diddy news.
More Diddy trial
Diddy
number two
until like. The year 2028.
Hey,
it's gonna drag on forever.
I've actually planned for our Throwback Thursday.
Yeah,
for the entertainment page segment, I might have a Bad Boys banger as the intro.
Well, that sounds horrible. That sounds like I need to plug my ears during that intro.
You know what?
So I can't hear it.
I can't wait.
You know what? For the first time in my life, I'll be happy that my ears are ringing and I can't hear. When do you play a horrible Diddy song? You subject us
to Drabby.
That.
How about the...
I said a Bad Boys song. He might be part of it.
Drabby, how about the Brian Kohlberger update?
Shocking.
This is huge. Is that on the EP? I'm sorry.
No.
It's not entertainment.
That's not entertainment news.
Well, I know.
That's fine. You can throw it in there.
I didn't know.
So he's admitted what everybody already knew.
Well, he agreed to plead guilty. So he doesn't die.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He admitted what everybody already knew, that he did it.
It's more than that. Since there's so many families and victims involved in this thing, they were torn on what to do.
Yeah.
One of the families of the murder victims is absolutely distraught that they let him accept a plea deal because they wanted the death penalty.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right.
They immediately after the deal was accepted, they went on social media and said they weren't even called about the plea deal. They received an email with a letter attached. It's shocking and cruel to what they did to us. I mean, yeah, but I think what would have to happen once it goes to trial, you got to bring all these people who have to relive this thing. The survivors have to relive it. The family's torn apart again. It was a mess. I could see it both ways, but, at least the guy's going to rot away forever.
Right.
I mean, what a piece of absolute
mess. Yeah, but they want to see him dead. That's the family.
I get it.
That's the family of Kaylee Concalves. Concalves?
Yeah. Yeah. Kaylee's family.
Yeah. They were distraught.
Well, I mean,
did the other three families talk publicly?
I haven't seen them talk publicly yet, but the rumor was there were the reports that the families were split on what to do.
Yeah, so they were just pissed that the state offered the plea deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, all the evidence that he had DNA at the freaking house.
Right.
There was DNA on the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't understand why they would offer a plea deal.
I think
they had the car. They had the car he was driving around.
Oh, well, there's no chance he was getting out of it.
Yeah,
I just think that they didn't want me either save money or didn't want to take the families through it again. Or some maybe
didn't
one
want
of the families
to, like
did.
Them to have to go through a trial.
Remember, there were surviving girls in the house. They'd have to relive this whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most traumatic thing imaginable.
He'll probably get killed in prison.
Hopefully.
I mean, what a loser.
Yeah, we can all hope for that.
I threw that into the EP. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
I knew probably wouldn't get to it.
All good. Next story on the EP, the Golden Bachelor, ex-NFL linebacker Mel Owens, he told producers, if they give him any women older than 60, he's cutting them on the spot.
Really?
He's using his leverage. He said, if you bring me any woman older than 60, they are going to get cut.
How old is Mel Owens?
He's 66.
Okay.
So I guess he's told the producers, you have to give me a pool of women to pick from that are between 45 and 60 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
So he's drawing a line in the sand, basically saying, if you give me anybody older than 60, they are immediately getting thrown overboard.
Man, he was
assuming the Golden Bachelor must have been a hit that they're bringing it back.
I think it was.
And I saw a commercial for Bachelor in Paradise. That's coming back.
I can't keep up with all of it.
Valdez
has taken the mantle as biggest Bachelor.
I didn't watch it, but I saw the trailer too. They're bringing the oldies to the Bachelor in Paradise.
That's why I was bringing it up.
Oh yeah. Oh really?
Hey, so, there might be some old guy, young girl shenanigans.
Trav just had his head just
turned.
Did
you see me wake up?
I did see that. That's like an animal popping his head out of a hole.
Or cougar, younger guy.
Yeah. I mean, the possibilities are endless. Who knows what could happen?
I'm intrigued.
I mean, I saw a quick ad for, I think it was a Golden Bachelor, where the woman was talking about like getting her knees redone. I mean, I don't even know what that means.
I can relate.
I mean, no, not like, I don't think she meant like a surgical, like functional procedure. I think she meant like a cosmetic.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like.
Yeah, she's got old lady saggy knees, and she got a knee lift.
Like kneecaps look like.
Yeah, got a knee lift.
Like palatable. I don't know. I was just like, ugh. Gross. I'm just never gonna watch that.
Mel Owens was the ninth pick in the draft. He was a first round pick. Now he represents former athletes in like workers' comp. He's a lawyer now.
Oh, I had no idea.
He represents athletes in workers' comp cases.
I'll be honest, I saw the name. It didn't really ring a bell.
I recognize the name.
Couldn't tell you who he played for.
He was a Ram.
Didn't know that.
Played for the Rams entire career.
Keith Urban, who looks a lot like our friend Chris Farley, appears to end radio interview after a question about Nicole Kidman and Zac Efron's sex scenes ricked him.
You want to hear it?
Yes, I do want to hear it. By the way, Urban.
What about the ugly ones?
Oh, not you, Keith. No ugly guests on today. So the way the Wall of Truth works is you sort of just have to answer this question truthfully. And when I was coming up with something to ask you, Keith Urban, if you're happy to play this game, the first thing I thought of, with your beautiful wife, Nicole Kidman, being on so many great movies, TV shows all the time, I watched a movie with her and Zac Efron recently, Family Affair, and I thought...
that's a good one.
What does Keith Urban think when he sees his beautiful wife with beautiful younger men like Zac Efron having these beautiful love scenes on TV and radio? Oh, why has that happened? What's just happened to you?
He's disconnected from Zoom.
He just hung up on us.
I think his team hung up on us because they didn't want us to ask that question.
Really? Mm.
So that was on Mix 102.3's Haley and Max in the Morning.
Uh-huh.
They do a wacky Australian morning zoo show. And I guess Keith Urban
didn't want to talk about it.
He did not want to play their little reindeer games about Nicole Kidman making out with Zac Efron.
Or he had a bad cell signal.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure all of a sudden.
It was a Zoom.
The Zoom just happened to disconnect when it was a risque topic about his wife feeling up Zac Efron in a Netflix show.
I like that game, The Wall of Truth. Is that what they call it?
Wall of Truth is pretty
play
good.
Play that over here.
Yeah, how would you feel, though?
Well, I think
if Jess was an actress and mm-hmm. she was, and she's very attractive, and she was doing love sex scenes with actors that are 20 years younger, how would you feel?
You'd feel terrible.
Timothy Chalamet's tongue is Jess.
It wouldn't be
fun.
You think
he'd feel good?
No, but I mean, think about it. Think about how many actors there are that do sex scenes.
Sure.
I mean, happens hundreds, if not thousands of times a year.
That's why they have intimacy coordinators on set.
That's actually a thing.
Oh yeah, that's the hottest job in Hollywood.
Oh, it is.
Ask Justin Baldoni.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess if I ever encountered him, I would ask him about it. I don't see how we run in the same circles, but sure. Yeah. So he immediately disconnected the Zoom, and I guess just
didn't want to talk about it.
It's good.
I think it'd be terrible, even if it was just a kissing scene.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want anybody making out with Teresa? At this point,
I mean, depends how much money is involved.
The old, what is it? The Wall of Truth.
The Wall of Truth.
Steal their bit. Steal their segment. All right, we've talked about this film franchise for literally 20 plus years.
I know exactly the franchise you're talking about.
And what, there's a new one coming out?
No,
Fast and Furious?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, there's a Fast favorite. And Furious, the 14th.
The final Fast and Furious film is on the way and will include even more familiar faces than fans expected. Vin Diesel surprised a crowd at Fuel Fest in Pomona, California, whatever that is. It's got to be for like car nerds and gearheads. And he broke news about a certain fan favorite character's return. Here's Vin Diesel's quotes. The studio said to me, Vin, can we please have the finale of Fast and Furious in April 2027? And he responded, under three conditions. He then laid out his terms. First is to bring the franchise back to L.A. The second thing was to return to the car culture, to the street racing. The third thing was reuniting Dom and Brian O'Connor. The problem with that is Brian O'Connor is played by Paul Walker, car crash in November of 2013 at the age of 40.
So they could probably AI it, though.
With AI and CGI, I think they're going to attempt to do that the final installment of Fast and Furious, which I still can't believe has cranked out as many sequels as they have over the years.
And how many?
I think they're on 10 or 11.
So I was pretty close on 14. 13 movies.
It's that many?
Wow, so I was just guessing 14.
They definitely had an offshoot too, like a I can't remember the name.
Hobbs and
it was The Rock and Jason Statham.
Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, it's definitely not that, but yeah.
You think Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah. You think it's not bad but sad when the song's playing and Dom and Brian are going down the road and they split because Brian's dead in real life?
I don't watch the Fast and Furious movies, but it's definitely emotional.
Yeah.
It's definitely like a thing. Even though I have no attachment to the movies, like it is sad that Paul Walker died. It's really sad that he died with just hot rodding around. And did he crash into a telephone pole or something like that?
Yeah.
I think that's the way. And then his car caught fire. I mean, it's a tragic story.
How long ago was that?
2013. 12 years ago.
Wow.
So I didn't realize there were 13 movies in the series.
This is the 14th.
So that's crazy. Another car-related story. Beyonce had to pause her show in Houston after her flying Cadillac as part of her stage show tilted in midair.
Yeah.
She's like flying. She's like going over the crowd in the Cadillac. And then all of a sudden, I guess, it started tilting to one side, leaving Beyonce clinging to a flagpole for support. She had to say stop 5 times, bringing an abrupt end to her country ballad, 16 Carriages. Valdez probably loves it. He loves the country version of Beyonce. Gasps were heard from the audience. She said, if I ever fall, I know y'all will catch me. Her company, Parkwood Entertainment, said a technical mishap caused the car to tilt. She was quickly lowered. Nobody was injured. The show continued without incident.
I wonder if she'll ever do that again.
But it's kind of scary that she gets up in a stage prop and almost got tilted out of it.
Hey, I saw that video. Look, she was at least, she had to be 50 feet up.
Pretty high
up. Yeah, she was up there.
Pretty high up. Yeah. All right, so that's your EP. I hope I entertained you.
Good job.
I hope Jason entertained you about the story about the Idaho killer.
Brian Kohlberger.
Yeah.
Oh, that's more interesting than any of those stories.
It probably is.
But that's okay.
All right.
You did a good job.
Don't forget, coming up later, Chris Miles in about 20 minutes, NBA TV host. We'll talk NBA free agency with him. All right, going to do a couple of quick soccer stories here. Soccer draft, I need you to dial in here. Get locked in. So the FIFA Club World Cup is happening right now. And trust me, I don't know that much about it, but I believe it's 32 teams are battling in the FIFA Club World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And Inter Miami is one of them. That's where Lionel Messi plays. They just got the boots put to them by PSG. Is it Paris Saint-Germain? I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly or pretty close.
I don't think it's a surprise. I actually watched a little of the game. PSG is one of the best clubs,
one of the best teams in the world. Okay,
Miami, though they have Messi and they've got some other names like Suarez, those guys are old.
Mm-hmm.
PSG has more talent.
So that was in Sunday's round of 16.
Yeah, four zippy.
Mm. So Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who's a pretty big name, like that dude is pretty well known in soccer circles around the world. He played with Messi at Barcelona. He just strafed the Inter Miami players besides Messi.
It's a good just word.
Killed them. Here are his quotes. He said, "It wasn't Leo Messi who lost. It was Inter Miami," the former Sweden forward said. "Messi plays with statues, not teammates. He's surrounded by players who run as if they were carrying bags of cement."
Mm.
I mean, that is going hard. Good for him. He's basically saying Messi is a stud. He's playing with a bunch of clowns.
Right, bunch of hacks.
There in Miami. Like, how pissed is Messi that his club just isn't surrounding him with any sort of talent?
He said, "This isn't the Messi I know. If you put him with a real team, he'd go all out."
I mean,
there are no coaches, no stars, not even players who understand how to move without the ball.
Well, hey, no one forced him to go to Miami.
That's true. You're right.
He took the bag.
Yeah,
in the comfortable lifestyle.
How much is he getting paid to play for Inter Miami? I'm sure he gets like a piece of the team.
Yeah, I think a piece of the team, hundreds of millions.
Yeah. So look, if
they're old is Messi now? Is he 40? 42?
I'm not sure how old he is.
Yeah, he's not 40 yet.
Not sure. So I applaud Ibrahimovic for just he's not holding back. I mean,
I thought you might be bringing up the U.S. soccer team who tied. They ended up winning in penalty kicks.
Mm-hmm.
Costa Rica.
Right.
I'm not even sure if that's World Cup qualifying, whatever it is.
Well, it's probably just a warm-up because the U.S. doesn't have to qualify because they're the host country.
I saw that they used to be coached by Greg Berhalter.
Okay.
Believe his son is on the team. His son missed a penalty kick, and there was like some controversy that the cameras then went to Berhalter, who was in the stands after his son misses a penalty kick.
No, I didn't want to bring.
If you were the director,
yeah,
do you ask for that shot?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a TV producer and you know that the dad is in the stands,
yeah,
and you don't get the reaction shot either positive or negative,
uh-huh,
you're just not doing your job as a TV producer. Like that.
Totally agree.
You got to have that shot. You got to get the reaction shot from the dad or the mom if you know they're there.
Yeah, I mean, at the PGA Tour event, the Rocket Classic this past week, Potguider, who had never won on PGA Tour before, his dad was there.
Right.
And they had the camera on him every time putting.
Totally.
And when he missed a putt, you'd see him, you know, he was so downtrodden. When he made when he made the putt to win, he went crazy.
Yeah.
They also had Chris Kirk's dad, who lost in a playoff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could see the emotion in their faces.
That was not the other soccer story I wanted to reference.
All right. There's a third soccer story out there?
This just made me laugh. I saw like a 30-second video clip of the first ever robot soccer game.
I saw that.
That was fully fueled by artificial intelligence.
I believe it was hosted in China.
It was, if that's the best that AI has at this point, as far as powering robots, they got a lot of work to do because at some point the robots were like falling down and then they had to get stretchered off by humans. it was the worst sporting event that I can recall watching. I was doubled over
and the
laughing
fans were going
it.
Crazy. They loved it.
If that is the best that AI can produce as far as pitting 3-on-3 humanoids playing soccer against each other, they got a long way to go. They got miles and miles to go because that is far from impressive.
I don't know, Cakes. I mean, maybe
you liked it.
Maybe no, of course not. But maybe China's behind the times. But that Boston Dynamics group, the one with the robot dog,
I've seen them. Now that's impressive.
Go watch their improvements year to year year over the last 20 years. Okay. It's like frightening,
right? Like the advancements they've made.
It barely moved 20 years ago.
Right.
Now it can do like backflips.
Right. It's getting to be sprint. Like Terminator.
Yeah. If you think that in the next probably 10 to 15 years, like there aren't going to be humans on battlefields anymore, it's going to be robots. It's going to be lifelike robots that are on the front lines. Hopefully saving human lives when it comes to international skirmishes and dust-ups between countries.
Roger, the engineer is a better soccer player than these robots. He's faster.
I mean, those robots are the worst soccer players I've ever seen.
Look at that. Have you seen this yet, JP?
I just started watching. Yeah.
I mean, look at that.
Who paid money for a ticket to go see that?
And the fans, especially the kids, loved it. Look, the robot just falls over.
I mean, what?
So embarrassing.
What are they doing?
It takes them 12 seconds to get up off the ground.
Well, it looks like there's a guy with the remote control, right? Operating.
Well, they're just terrible. Hey, it was awful.
Valdez, if you ever see me in the stands at a robot soccer game, you have permission to just push me off the edge of a cliff.
What's the worst thing you've ever been to?
Worst sporting event?
In the stands.
Well, that's a good question.
You were at a demolition derby, weren't you?
I think I've done the demolition derby at the fair, at the MoCo fair at some point. it might be.
I'd have to think about that.
No, I know exactly what it is. It was also the Montgomery County Fair where I did an appearance where it was a wrestling appearance. And it was Jimmy Superfly Snuka was there. A couple of other, like, just faded wrestling stars were there.
Uh-huh.
I believe that there was a tag. I'm pretty sure there was a tag team of disabled wrestlers. Like one of the wrestlers may have had cerebral palsy.
So that's the worst.
I felt weird being a part of it.
I'll be honest.
I felt
for me,
kind of weird. I'll be honest.
I wanted to expose my kids to everything. So I've taken them to a monster truck show.
Oh, really? Wow.
That to me was my personal worst.
Yeah, but the monster truck shows.
I think they're kind of silly.
They're so packed. Like, yeah. They have one at Capital One Arena. It's there for like 3 nights.
Yeah. I went to Capital One Arena. I took them to Marvel's Universe Live.
Yeah, I've done that when my
kids
were
young. I've done, you know, ice capades and all that kind of stuff. But to me, monster trucks was my lowest seed.
Lowest of the low.
Yeah.
But I hope you had earplugs. I've told people a million times, if you go to a monster truck show, especially inside an arena, as opposed to a stadium that's open air.
Yeah.
It's the loudest. I mean, I've been to every concert you can think of. I've been to Metallica concerts, Iron Maiden, like the loudest of the loud bands. They don't hold a candle to Gravedigger when it's revved up and it's loud as possible. And that sound is just bouncing around the arena.
Yeah.
If you don't have ear protection, you're a clown.
I think I even got pictures with one of those guys, like Gravedigger, right. Or one of those famous guys.
Gravedigger's because, the one scene.
Yeah, I got the
VIP. Either Gravedigger or Bigfoot.
Yeah. I got the VIP passes from our guy. And
of course.
I'm like,
you're
what am
standing
I doing
there
here?
Next to it. Like, you don't even, you're not even as tall as the tire on the truck.
Yeah.
Drabby, I think I know the answer, but what would you rather go to, the Kentucky Derby or the Indy 500?
Kentucky Derby, 1,000 times out of 1,000.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Indy 500.
No.
Because you're a race car guy.
Not the Indy 500, no.
No, not.
It's actually a bucket list for me to go to the Derby.
So the Derby over the Daytona as well?
All of us?
He wants to go to Monaco, though. He's an F1 guy.
I would rather go to the Derby as well. But I thought you might say the Indy 500.
As long as I'm on the
backstretch. I think I'd choose neither. I would choose the neither box.
Or yeah, just have fun at the Derby, and you're
fine. I mean, I've been to the Preakness. I just feel like it's the same.
I've never been to the Preakness. Never been to a horse race.
I just remember seeing the animals on the infield at the Preakness,
right?
behind the chain link fence. I mean, it looked like a war zone. It was terrifying. I didn't want any part of it.
That's like Titanic, where they put all the steerage down below.
Yeah, they were definitely the steerage.
No. Mm.
Running on the running of the urinals, that's a
you
great
had to,
bit.
When you were in the infield, you had to keep your head on a swivel because people were throwing full beers out.
Full beer bottles everywhere. Chaos.
I've never been in battle before, but it's probably the closest thing to war.
Yeah, you're probably right. You got to hold your ground, hold your territory, keep your head on a swivel at all times. Keep advancing to better territory.
All right, Drabby. Derby or Wimbledon?
Ooh.
Oh, Wimbledon.
Wimbledon, yeah.
All right.
Wimbledon
any of those Grand Slams.
Yep.
Any other?
I agree.
This or that, or are you good? You good? You all full up?
I mean, I was just coming up with huge events.
Understood.
I know we'll never go to any of them. But.
Right. All right, coming up next, we'll talk NBA free agency with Chris Miles, NBA TV host. He's going to join us next. And at the 9 o'clock hour, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler when he comes to Capital One Arena in September. So keep listening.